tightening itself, it will become the beginning, the food for your thought. You will succeed. Yes?
How excellent are the docile horses which go forward, not backwards, and are not given over to restiveness. Going hot foot, like the body of Moses, the Kalim, to the two seas as the breath of a blanket. 700 years in the duration is the duration of the journey on which he set out in the path of love.
Aha. See, what is he talking about? Okay. You know what? This doesn't mean that we prefer that stupid horse which is backward. I mean, that simple animalistic ego and self-indulgence in you. No. We prefer the good horses that drive fast and they know where they are going and all of that. Like what? Yes, these are exceptions. Like the Moses. Do you remember this story of the Moses? He could walk and the water will open up. You just try it. Remember, the water, the knowledge, will open up for the Moses. What was that function we were talking about? I said, this is a long, long road, which is 700 years. It takes 700 years to cross this road that we are talking. And he started this. Why? Was he stupid? No, he was in love. This is what love will do. You will start a road which is 700 years. Means you don't think about the end of it. This is a very important point that you should remember always. The path we are talking about is not like the logical path of your brain. Logical path of your brain thinks about what is at the end of this. How silly it is. We think about every single moment of it and we love to walk it forever. I want to learn to expand my knowledge. Where is the limit? There is no limit. I want to learn and learn and learn. This is what we are here for. Humanity is for learning, right? And what is? There is the path of learning that we are walking in it. With love. Yes.
Since the aspiration on his journey in the body is this, his journey in the spirit must be unto the highest paradise.
This is how it works. There are two journeys. One is me standing up, being responsible, trying and learning and all of that. There is the other one, the spirit. That one should change. He says, when physically you really change, you turn that horsey around and control your appetite and live like that, what will happen? During that you're enjoying this process, the other one will happen. Your spirit will change. Yes.
The kingly knights sped forward in advance. The boobies unloaded in the stable yard.
No. Just think about it. The horses
will go and run in fight and war and all of that. The stupid donkeys, they are down there, period. So the horses are important, not good. That's the ego, that's the self-appreciation and self-loving. But I could turn it around because of knowledge. Yes.
Parable.
Means what? Means I get it. I explained it, but I think you didn't get it yet. Yes, let me bring you an example. Yes.
It is like the caravaneers arrived and entered a village and found a certain door open. One said, "During this spell of cold weather, let us unload here for a few days." A voice cried, "Nay, unload outside, and then come indoors."
Ah. You didn't get it. Okay. Let's go to another story. A caravan will arrive in a small village. A door was open. So somebody said, "That's good, let's go in and put down everything and rest for a couple of days." A voice from within said, "No, put everything down outside, then come in." Who is listening? Because when I'm talking about you changing yourself, you want to keep everything with you. There are a lot of stuff that you should put outside and come in. Because some of the things that you have it because you are traveling, you are in caravan. This is a place, a house that we don't know anything about, but it has the open doors. A welcoming stuff, right? Yeah.
Drop outside everything that ought to be dropped. Do not come in with it, for this assembly place is of high dignity.
Uh-huh. The explanation is simple. Yes, you like whatever you have, but this is a decent place, and a lot of the stuff that you have, you shouldn't bring in. You should put them out. That's the changes that you should make to yourself. Yes.
Hillel was a spiritual adept and a man of illumined soul, the groom and slave of a Muslim emir. The youth served as a groom in the stable, but a king of kings and a slave in name.
Meaning what? Suddenly you should stop, right? The story stopped. Now we give you some explanation about some special kind of slavery. This is that fellow that I wanted to talk about. Hillel, like Balal. Hillel is a very clever man, right? And he is like a politician, he knows what he's doing, and he is the slave of the king. Then, explanation about that kind of, what do I mean by a slavery? I mean that, yes, because he is connected to this fellow, we call that one slavery. Means a sort of connection. Yes.
The emir was ignorant of his slave's condition, for he had no discernment but of the sort possessed by Iblis.
Pay attention to the king. The king doesn't pay attention to the details. Why? He's devilish. Yes. Okay.
He saw the clay, but not the treasure in it.
Means what? Do you remember your friend, Satan? He looked at that clay, the big statues of the clay that God made. Do you remember? He washed, and this is a stupid clay. He didn't see the breath of God in it. We talked about it. There is this. This is the clay. The spirit here. That's what matters. Not for Satan. Because logically, this exists. And logically, what is a spirit? Nonsense. You're saying it. I don't see it. Can you bring it in lab? We test it and blah, blah, all of that? No. This is the trick. Yes.
He saw the five and the six, but not the source of the five.
What is five and six? Five senses we have and six dimensions. Means reality. Yes.
The color of clay is manifest. The light of religion is hidden. Mm-hmm. Such was every prophet in the world.
This is what the meaning of prophecy is. Prophecy is about something which is not clear and logic. It's beyond the logic. It's some sort of passion, feeling, and spiritual motions. That's what it is. Yes.
One saw the minaret, but not the bird upon it. Upon the minaret, a fully accomplished royal falcon.
Do you know what minaret is? It's a very tall, stand-up for light. Menare means the place of light, because they will build up these towers, they put on the light and send the message like the telegraph in the old time. He said, looking at the menare, you could see that big stuff, but do you see that clever bird at the top of the menare? Yes.
And a second saw a bird flapping its wings, but not the hair in the bird's mouth.
You have a very clever friend, and he has the instrument, and he looks at it, he sees the bird, but he doesn't see that stuff that the bird is bringing. Yes?
But that one who was seen by the light of God was aware both of the bird and of the hare.
That is the point. Do you remember this birdie? Beginning of book 2, who sits on the arm of the king and will hunt the king. This is the birdie that will go and hunt for me, not for itself. Think about some sort of thinking which is not about me, it's about we and understanding. He says, okay, there are people who are beyond the logic. So when they look up, they will see the bird and the reason the bird is flying and what is in its mouth and all the details, not logically. This is the fellow who is looking from the eye of the God. This is an adjective we made. Yanzur bin Urullah means the fellow who looks like the vision of God. And this could happen. Yeah.
And said, pray. Direct your eye towards the hare. Till you see the hare, the knot will not be untied.
Uh-huh. all this I explained, and you want to see all